Yes. Well, we're in a series called Eyewitnesses, and we're talking about, we're talking from the book of John. And John was wrote this book really with this sense of, I've walked with Jesus and I've seen Jesus, and I believe not because I just had faith that he was the one, but there are actual reasons for why I believe Jesus was more than a man and that he was the Son of God. So Jesus was the Son of God. And John said, they said, John, you need to write down the evidences, the events, the signs that pointed to it, that was evidence to you that Jesus was the Son of God. And so that's what John did. He wrote this down, and that's what we're taking a look at through this series. And we've been going through the book of John, looking at the signs that are pointed. And John's saying, here's another reason why I know that Jesus is the Son of God. And so we're going to take a look at today. Today's, it's wide open. And in John 20, 31, it says this, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. He said that was his agenda of writing this book. He said, this is why I'm writing it, that you might have life. Because in the end, all of this is about life and death. What man lost in the garden, what we've done is we've said all of this is all about forgiveness of sins. That's not true. That's absolutely part of this, but it's not what it's all about. What man lost in the Garden of Eden was life, death. They died in the garden. The Bible said when they ate of the fruit, they died in the garden. Jesus said, I came to give you life and more abundant life. He's saying, I'm not talking about life on earth in the sense of I'm alive and then we do a funeral and you're dead. He says, I'm talking about that thing that Adam and Eve lost in the garden, this life. I'm here to return to you. I'm here to give back to you. It's not a matter of the sin, although sin works against life. He says, I'm giving you life because life produces in you what brings that which you're looking for, where sin works to bring death. Does that make sense? So what we want is life, abundant life. That's what we're asking the Lord for, and that's what John is talking about. By believing is the Son of God, that you may have life in his name. Now, we're going to take a look at another story this morning, and as I go into this story, it's a story about the blind man. But have you ever said this? Have you ever said this? God, if you would just do one big thing, I would put my faith in you. You ever said that? Have you ever been a point of saying that? God, if you just did one big thing. Or God, if you sent to me the woman of my dreams, I'd believe in you. And so would everyone else. Now, that's funny. You just don't want to laugh if you didn't think that was funny. I think God is so apparent and so present that we often miss him. Isn't that true? He's so present. I wonder if God thinks, like, you know, when we say, God, if you do one big thing, just one big thing, I'd believe in you. I wonder if God thinks this, if he thinks. So, like, if I created a rock and big enough for you to live on, and then I synced all of the systems, fine-tuned everything on it and around it so that it sustains life in a manner that is different from every other rock in the universe. Oh yeah, I already did that. Or what if maybe I created a 576 megapixel camera? What if I made two of them and put them on the front of your face? Oh yeah. And what if I connected it to a 3,000 gigahertz computer big enough with enough memory to pass knowledge down from generation to generation? Oh, yeah, I already did that too. I mean, God has already done so many incredible things. For us to sit there and say, God, if you do one big thing, he says, I already thought I did. What is it that you want me to do bigger? Well, will you take care? Will you bring that man to me, God? That's like nothing to him. Our brains are so smart that you don't even need to think about digesting your food. It just does. There are systems working in your body right now that you're not even thinking about. God created you. And you say, well, God, well, I was thinking like a healing thing. If you could do like a healing thing, then we would believe. Do you know that God created your body with the ability to heal itself? That should have been enough to praise the Lord for, right? Like God says, how much bigger do you want me to do this? I thought I was impressive that way, just doing that. I thought it was impressive. When I created the earth, I said, this is good. I thought you guys would love it. Man, you're picky. I'm speaking for God. We sit there, no, God, like something truly spectacular. Okay. I sent my son and put him in a human body. I took God, I took me, and stuck him in one of the little container like human. Well, I don't know, God. Right? Isn't God incredible? Look at John 20-31. He says, These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. He wants you to believe that he's the Son of God, that he's the living God. And that's what he's here for. Now, let's go to the story in John chapter 9, verse 1. Here's what it says. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So what they believed back then, because they were religious, and they believed back then that if someone was born blind or deaf or lame, it was because man sinned. Now, we understand that there are consequences, like when there are consequences to sin. When either we sin or someone else sin, there's a cause and effect. We get that. But when they're asking, who was it that sinned? It was not obvious. It wasn't because of sin that this happened. But in their religious framework, they were brought up in this understanding that if someone was blind, it was because they sinned, and they believed it with all of their heart. They stood on it. They would have fought for it, that's truth, only to find out that they had believed a lie. The reason I'm bringing this up today is I am sure that everything you believe is true. But I'm telling you, there are things that you believe that are true that are actually lies. And God wants to expose those things in our life so we have freedom through really knowing the truth. Next verse says this, neither this man, just as Jesus talking, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. Neither of them sinned. That's not why he's blind. This is why he's going through. But this happens so that, next slide, so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Now, it's hard for us to really grasp hold of this because many of us have been taught, like, if you get saved, everything's going to be your blessed life now means, and in our mind means, we're never going to suffer. That we don't have to go through stuff, you know, and there's stuff we go through because of the decisions we make, and then there's stuff we go through that we had nothing to do with. But suffering comes. And do you know that it is through suffering and pain and trials that you get closer to the Lord? There are times where people will go through suffering and trials, and as they're going through it, they hate going through it, but they're closer to the Lord than they've ever been, and then 4 or 5 years down the road, they look back at it, and they said, although I hated the suffering I was going through, I sure loved the times I had with the Lord in those moments. I love the words that the Lord spoke to me and how I grew during those times. That suffering produces, there's great joy in trials of all kinds. Why? Because it causes you to see God working in your lives like you never see him at any other time. Goes on. Next verse. It's Jesus saying, this is because I want to show you something. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming and when no one can work. And then look at this statement. He says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Some of us, we can get, you know, grammar. I'm not necessarily a grammar teacher, but if you look at that, he says, while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay? But when he leaves, you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. He says, while I'm here, I'm the light of the world, but when I leave, I'm going to put the light of that world, the light in this world is going to be you, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit shining out of you, and you are now the light of the world. You are now shining brighter than it ever has shined before. Next verse. After saying this, he spit on the ground. Now, that would have been interesting. I would have liked to have seen like a picture in the children's Bible of what that looked like, right? He spits in the ground and he made mud. I'm sure he got the deep loogie because that had all the healing power in it. You know, deep down, he got it to come up, spits in the mud. I can just see it. Going down, and now fortunately this guy is blind. He's not deaf, so he can hear what's happening, but he's blind. He doesn't know what's taking place. As he makes mud in this special dirt in Israel, he scoops it up and he jams it in. Now where does Jesus get this stuff? Couldn't he have just touched his eyes? Right? I think he just thought, this will really throw him for a curve. Right? And he did it. He says, someday they're going to talk about this and they're going to laugh about it. And that's what he wants because he's such a, he likes to bring laughter, right? But he brings it and this deaf guy is just standing there, Jesus? 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 Like, what is that? And you know what we do when we read this? We just kind of like sanitize all of it, of any human effect. How many do that when we read it? We think like Jesus, like he was just like, oh yes, yes, Jesus. No, he's thinking, what are you doing? He doesn't know who Jesus is. He's probably only heard rumors about Jesus. He's obviously never saw him. He's never seen any of the miracles. He's only heard rumors of it. And this guy starts jamming mud in his face. Like, those rumors better be true or I'm going to be one upset person. Right? Jesus comes and he puts the mud in. Notice what he didn't do. Notice what he said. He didn't pray for him. He didn't say any like supernatural prayer to convince God that he should do this miracle. Like, God, if you heal them, everybody around them will get saved. There will be, like, we got to manipulate God into doing something he already said he'd do. Right? And so he puts him in, and this is what he tells him to do. Because, and it's funny, he puts in his eyes and he says, go. He told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the first part of go and wash, this guy's washing his face whether Jesus told him to or not. I mean, he's not going to sit walking around with mud in his eyes. Like, dude, why do you got mud in your eyes? I don't know. Jesus put it there. I just figured I wouldn't take it out. Right? He's going to go wash his face. How many would have went and washed your face? Right? Like when you come to the altar, remember when they used to stick the oil on your head? How many know what I'm talking about? Like, and somebody who just felt the more the oil was on your face, the better God would do. So they just caked it. You look like a frosted muffin, you know, almost just with oil on there. How many know what I'm talking about? And the moment you left that altar, you for some reason had to go to the bathroom. Because you didn't want to get zits in that one spot of your forehead. So you went out and you wiped it off, right? Nobody told you to wash it. Okay. He said, though, go wash in the pool of Siloam. This man didn't know who Jesus was. Didn't know, but he had heard rumors. And so he did exactly what Jesus did. Look at the next slide. The blind man walks by faith and not by sight. He's like, okay, Jesus, I don't understand how mud is going to help my sight, but you said to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And there was probably other pools. There's probably other places he could have went to. And they said, why don't you just go over here? He says, no, Jesus told me to go to the pool of Siloam. That is what I'm going to do. I don't care what's easier. I don't care what's more convenient. I don't care what makes sense. I don't care what's logical. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what feels good. I don't care. I'm going to do what Jesus said. Why? Because he's my bridegroom. Not because it's better for me or my reputation. Not even if I get healed will I do it that way. I'm going to the pool of Siloam because Jesus told me to go to the pool of Siloam. Not by sight. Next slide. He chose to trust someone he could not see based on rumors. Because when Jesus told other people to do things and they obeyed, they were blessed. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. A lot of times, this is what we do. We say, God, I will sacrifice this in my life. I just don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that, God, but I'll sacrifice this. God says, obedience is better than sacrifice, because when we obey God, listen, it's not better for him, it's better for you. Next verse. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Now, we read this and we don't actually think about it. I like to sit and think about what that must have been like. This man who has never seen a thing, never seen a building, never seen a mountain, never seen a lake, never seen a road, never seen a human being, has only felt a face. He goes down and he begins to wash his eyes in the mud and everything else in there. Washes out of his eyes, and he opens his lids up for the first time, and he sees all of this stuff all around him. And I think he had to be like going crazy, like, you're amazing. You're beautiful, and you're beautiful, and you're beautiful, and you're beautiful, and you're beautiful. It's all beautiful, right? Can you see it? This guy had to be so, he's he is blind from birth. I remember when I like Maui Jim sunglasses. How many know what they are, right? I like them because they're polarized and you can see everything's bright colors. And I got a pair of Maui Jim sunglasses and I was trying to justify why I bought them to my wife. And my wife said, you're just crazy. That's not true at all, blah, 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 blah. And she's going on and I'm like, you see, you just don't know. So for Valentine's Day and our anniversary and Mother's Day, I combined all the gifts together, and I bought her a pair, right? She's like, this stupid, I don't even want them, right? And then she put them on, and she's driving in the car, and she's like, the reds are so red, and the greens are so green, and the blues, they're amazing, and she's going on, and I'm like, I know, right? And she kept talking about how everything was so vibrant. And I think of this blind guy. He's like, that is nothing like I thought it would look like. You know, it doesn't feel like it looks. Right, I know. How many say amen to that? The reality is this guy is like, he's like, this is incredible. He's not thinking in this moment. He is just trying to get used to this new norm. Like, I don't think he's sitting there thinking about Jesus. I don't think he's experiencing life like he's never known it before. Because someone touched him. Someone touched him. Go to the next verse. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, is this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Because they're sitting there, this guy can't be the same guy. That guy was blind. This guy can obviously see. It is amazing how you change after Jesus touches you. In fact, David is sitting right here. David Hunter sitting right here. He posted something on Facebook a while back of him before he was really saved and after he got saved, right? And you look at it and you're like, that looks like a brother to David. It doesn't look like David. But when God gets a hold of your life, he changes even the way you look. because your attitude changes and your outlook changes and there's hope and there's faith and there's life living in you, and it even changes your physical appearance when Jesus comes in your life. And this man comes and he shows up and he said, I think I know you. Do I know you from somewhere? Like, you from Lowe's or Home Depot, or you work at Target, or you in my neighborhood? And he's like, no, dude, I'm the guy that was blind. Like, I couldn't see at all. No, you're not. You don't even look like that guy. He says, no, seriously, I'm that guy. And he says, yeah, you might be that guy. And some claimed that was he. Yeah, that's the guy. I'm pretty sure he's wearing the same clothes. Unless he robbed a blind man, that's the guy. Next verse. Others said, no, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, no, I'm the man. I'm the man. I was the guy. He says, well, I was sitting there. I heard what you talked about with your wife over there. My eyes weren't working, but my ears were working. I heard you talking over there. And he starts reading. Oh, yeah, maybe you are that guy. Next verse. Are you kind of getting into this? Now, the story is only told by John, but you got to hear the story told from the blind man's point of view in heaven, right? I'm making it up. If you think this isn't in the Bible, some of this stuff that I'm talking about, I'm kind of just trying to add what it could be, okay? So don't start quoting it out there and saying, yeah, this is in the Bible. How then were your eyes open, they asked. How then were your eyes opened? He said, well, the man they called Jesus, oh, yeah. They're saying, yeah, I've heard about this Jesus guy. He's like the new thing. They're posting all kinds of stuff on him on Twitter. Yeah, this dude, he does like all kinds of miracles. He says, yeah, well, he put mud in my eyes. And thankfully, he didn't tell him how he made the mud. But he put mud in his eyes. Probably better he didn't. He told me to go to Siloam and then to wash. So I did what he said, and I went and I washed, and then I could see. And now I can see. See? I can see, right? I couldn't see, but now I can see. And they're like, yeah, you can see. How many fingers am I holding up? Next verse. I don't know, he said. He said, where is this Jesus? I don't know. He said, I don't see which way he went, Sherlock. I don't know. It's not in the Bible. This is what he said. See, some of you don't read the Bible. You don't know if it's actually in there. And you're going to go to your friend and say, Sherlock was actually in the Bible. Honey, I told you that was a Bible name. Let's name our son that. It's not in the Bible. That was a test. I don't know where Jesus is at. He told me to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I did, and I could see, and I'm just trying to deal with this new whole life, this new world I'm living in. I don't know. Next verse. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been blind. So there's this thing in that day and age that when someone experienced what this blind man experienced, the lame man, the people with leprosy, Jesus told them, go to the temple so that they can declare you're clean. Go to the temple to declare that you're whole again. And so they said, you've just been healed. You know what you need to do is you got to go to the temple. You got to let the Pharisees see you. So he goes to the temple. And now the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath. You know, Jesus is never going to learn. I mean, you would think if he's God, he would have known you aren't supposed to heal people on Sunday or a Saturday, right? And Jesus goes out and he does it again. And he heals them. And the Pharisees, they're upset. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath. Now, it's here where I want to stop for a moment. On a serious note, in this moment, some of us get so caught up in our doctrine of our faith. We've been raised, and these are what good Christians do. That when anyone else isn't abiding by what our God box is, we think of them as bad Christians. And you know what? You're right. They are. They are. They're bad Christians. Bad at the Christian religion. Amen. See, Jesus said, I want you to honor these feasts. I want you to honor these feasts. And then about a few chapters later, a few books later, he says, I hate your feasts. It's like, Jesus, like, are you bipolar or something, God? You know, you tell us to have them, that we should do them, and then you tell us you hate them. What he's saying is, I want you to honor the feast, but when you do the feast, you're not doing the feast for what I gave them to you for. Your mouth says these words, but your heart is far from me. And what we do is we put God in a box, and we want God to live in that box and to do what we think he's supposed to do. And that when anyone else does something outside of the box, even when it's God himself, we say, God, you got a problem. God is, you know, you're a sinner, God. Did you stop to see these Pharisees? They were honoring the law that they had taken and expounded on. It wasn't even God's law. It was their laws. How many laws have we created? How many things have we yoked on people that isn't even God's law, but it's our law? How we think God should be. And then God blows it up. See, religion is... I'll say that again. Religion is demonic. Because that sounds so bad. What it is... when I say demonic, it is Satan's attempt to get you to be content with what appears to be good, and it is not. God has called us into relationship with him through Jesus Christ, not into religion. And yet our minds are so captivated by a religious mindset, because that's what we've been raised in, that it is very difficult to see God outside of our God box, our religious box. In fact, we're sitting here. Some of you in this room may be really struggling with what I'm having to say this morning, and so were the Pharisees. And yet Jesus was constantly healing people purposely on Sunday, or on the Sabbath. Sunday isn't the Sabbath. Saturday's the Sabbath. But on the Sabbath. Do you think he knew better than that? If he didn't, he could have healed the man on Friday. He wanted to do it on Saturday. He purposed to do it on Saturday. Look, next slide. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. There's like, this guy's got to be, because he doesn't fit in our God box, and he's not doing it the way it's supposed to be done, and this is how we do it. And if you need to be healed, you go to the front, they do this, 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 and this, and they do something else on you, and then you go. Then they turned again to the blind man. And the Pharisee says, what do you have to say about this? It's your eyes he opened. The mind replied, I don't know. He's a prophet. Guys, come on. You're the religious guys. I'm just a blind man that got healed. I was just sitting around for a while being led by other people. And I'm not a religious person. I didn't go to religion. What are you asking me who this guy is? All I can tell you is what he did to me. I don't know. What are you asking me for? They still did not believe that he had been blind. I mean, the guy's like, I've been blind. Well, I don't believe you. Okay. Whatever. I don't know how else I'm going to prove you. I'm not going to go be blind again, so I'm going to do it all over again. I don't want mud in my eyes. That's weird stuff in the mud. Religious people don't want to see the truth that's right in front of them. If you don't want to see God, You will literally have every argument why God isn't right there. You will figure out, literally, the people in atheism, agnostics, that's all a religion. It's all led. Every single person on the planet has a religion they're living by. Everybody. Agnostics would say, I don't necessarily know much about it, but everyone is living in some religion. And Christ is calling people out of those religions to pursue him. Now, something, you're really going to like this. Something, as I've been just praying and kind of looking at it, every single person, Romans chapter 3 says that there will be no excuse that creation proclaims there is a higher power, a God, right? What we've done in religion is said, no, our God is better than their God. Okay? Listen, every single person every single person has put a name to their to what this higher power is. Are you hearing me this morning? We get so caught up in arguing whose God is better than pointing them to Jesus Christ, who is the only way to that higher power we call God. Does this make sense? He's the only way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life to this higher power. They know there's a higher power, but they don't know who it is. But they know there's a creator because God is that obvious. For those people who deny there's a God, are you kidding me? You just don't want to believe there's one. And you will look for every argument. Here's what's interesting. Go to the next slide. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see? And the parents say, yeah, we know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind, but how can we see now or who opened his eyes? We don't know. Ask him. He's an adult. He'll speak for himself. That's like somebody calling in Antonio's parents. You know, was he blind? Who healed him? It's like, Antonio's like 35 years old. Ask him. I was being gracious, brother. His parents said this because they were afraid that Jewish leaders who had already decided, they had already made this decision, next slide, that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. They didn't want to know he was the Son of God. They were like, we'll punish anyone who says he is. Next slide. The religious leaders actually were the blind men in this story. They didn't want to see. Goes on, next slide. There's this, if you remember Francis, Francis Collins, a few weeks ago, I talked about this in a sermon, he was confronted with this thing called willful blindness. It's when we choose to be blind to things that are obvious around us, but we don't want to believe. It's called cognitive bias. Next slide. Cognitive bias. What cognitive bias is when something is so obvious around us, but we will not, because it doesn't line up with what I believe, I just ignore it and pretend it's not there. I can't explain it, so I'm just going to pretend it's not there, even though it is just real. It's right in front of me. And that's what's happening here. The Pharisees are like, this is our truth. I'm going to defend our truth. I'm not going to look at anything else. I believe everything I believe is absolutely right the way it is. And so you're literally in bondage to your bondage. Goes on, next slide. A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. He'd already been there once. He went away. They brought in the parents. Parents went away. So they bring him back, and they bring him in. They said, give glory to God by telling the truth. I love this part. Give glory to God by telling the truth, which just so happens to be our truth. We know this man's a sinner. You do? How do you know that? We know he's a sinner. Next verse. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, this is the blind man. Once was blind man. Whether he was a sinner or not, I don't know. Here's why. I don't have to understand everything to believe something. I don't have to understand. We don't hold our lives accountable to this in any other part of our life. Do you understand love? Yet you love. Do you understand energy? Yet you have energy. You understand consciousness, and yet you believe in consciousness. There are a lot of things in our life we don't understand. We don't understand how it works, but we believe it. He says, I don't understand any of that stuff. I don't understand how he did it. I don't understand how the spit and mud healed my eyes. I don't understand how all of that worked. But this much I know. Look at the next verse. Next slide. Next slide. One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see. Best verse in the Bible. I was once addicted, but now I'm free. I was once depressed. Then I met Jesus, and now I have joy unspeakable, and I'm full of glory. I was once anxious and worried about everything, but then Jesus came to me, and now I have peace that passes all understanding. Even though my circumstances haven't changed, I have peace. I was once lost in my shame and guilt, but Jesus came and spoke to me, and now I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I was once put down and destroyed and hopeless, but now I have hope because of Jesus. So I don't understand how I got healed. I don't understand how my blind eyes that never saw before now see. But something I do believe is that I believe in that man, Jesus. Look at this, next verse. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Isn't that religious people? Tell me, how did it work? I'm going to analyze this and we're going to ask questions. You know, when did it happen? How did it happen? Who did it? At what time was it? Was the weather just right? Did you have breakfast? It's like Shelby saying, God spoke to me a minute ago, and we go up to her and say, well, tell me how he spoke to you. Like, were you eating when he spoke to you, or had you just had a kombucha, or do you know, just like, were you about falling asleep when he did it, or were you just waking up, or was it snowing when he spoke to you, or how many know what I'm talking about? Because we don't settle with the fact, and this is what he said. He answered, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? I love that sarcastic, you know, would you like to understand? And look what he says. Then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciples. Are we disciples? We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. We don't even know it. And this guy, he's just like, got to be the Holy Spirit. I love this part. He goes, the man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. That's remarkable. He's a sinner. You think he's a sinner. Look what he says next. He says this. Next slide. He goes, isn't it obvious where he comes from? Next slide. The next verse. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Isn't it obvious where he came from? Like, guys, you're the religious leaders. Everybody out there knows he comes from God, but you don't. So who have we been listening to all these years? Blind people. And there are all kinds of people that are leading us into more deeper religion and not relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm here today to tell you that you can be the most religious person. You can fast. You can do all of those things. But if you're not spending time in relationship with Jesus Christ, it's for naught. This is a pursuit of a person, not a doctrine. A living person who is present by the Holy Spirit, and we acknowledge his presence in this place right now. And he's like, I want to talk to you. I want to be heard, and I want to hear you. And yet we take pride almost in the sense of, I've never heard God speak to me. That is the most fundamental thing in any relationship, is knowing who you're talking to and being able to hear their voice. See, that's why I said a few weeks ago, some people had a hard time with, if you don't have life and you're dead, you're not saved. You said, but I prayed a prayer. It doesn't matter. You see, Jesus came to give life. And it's when we receive life that we enter the kingdom of God and we become a new creation. It is the life he gives us. Smile. Smile. It's life. The reality is, aren't you happy? Are you happy? You don't need to be happy, but you need life. Not every moment is happy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just being happy. I'm talking about this thing that lives in you that knows God's there. You are not alone. And that you can hear from the Lord, and he wants and is speaking. Can I tell you right now, this may shock you, but God is speaking to you. But are you in the frequency to hear what he's saying? He that has ears, he that has the frequency to my voice, you'll hear what I'm about to tell you right now. He that has ears. Father, right now I pray, if in this room this morning you're saying, I need to get back into that frequency with God, and I need to get out. I've been running in religion. I need to run in relationship right now. Raise your hand as high as you can and put it down. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you in the back. Thank you. Father, right now, I pray for every person that raised their hand and those that didn't, Lord, but they've been running in religion. Lord, we right now open our hearts and our minds to you, that you would speak to us. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your voice. Lord, I pray that you cause us to rise up out of the religious context that many of us were brought up in, to walk in a relationship with a living God that still walks on earth today through your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, we'd experience everything you promised. As we go through suffering, as we go through pain, as we go up on the mountaintops and down in the valleys, Lord God, I pray that we would never question your presence and that you're with us and you'll never leave us or forsake us. But it's a relationship with you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.